We are continuing our course on urban youth discipleship, and we have come a long ways. We have spent time rethinking the purpose of youth ministry, about creating environments in which youth can discover who they are in Christ. And we've examined the scriptures regarding mission, divine imprint, leadership, and other teachings related to transformational discipleship. Well, now we are turning to the doing part. How do we press the what and the why of transformational discipleship into how? How do we do it? And so, welcome to Building Cathedrals. We're going to learn how to build cathedrals, that is, young lives. Our premise is this, that leadership pulls mission, growing up urban, and the divine imprint into a powerful adventure of growth, discovery, and influence within the adolescent experience. Armed with the knowledge of who they are in Christ, young leaders can move confidently beyond high school into the God-shaped future awaiting them. But before we continue, I want to ask a question. Have you ever been to Disneyland? Probably many of you watching this have not been to Disneyland. I live in Denver, and during the years that we had our ministry, our youth ministry based in Denver, we would take our youth on mission trips. Sometimes they were overseas, and sometimes they were to different ministries within the country. And we have friends that have a wonderful ministry in California, in Pasadena. And so every summer, after they've gone through a year, our emerging leaders have gone through a year of teaching elementary kids, of preparing and designing and leading the summer day camp. After that, to top off their leadership experience, we would go to another ministry where they could utilize their skills in another context. Well, one of my favorite places to go was to Pasadena, to work with my friends there in the ministry there. And we had a philosophy, work hard, play hard. So if you work hard, then you're going to have some fun. And our fun in Pasadena was going to Disneyland. Disneyland was a wonderful place. I think it became my favorite place in the world to go. And the reason is this, I would go there and I would stand and just watch everything that was going on. And everything was done with excellence. And I would always ask myself, how do they do it? What's going on behind the scenes that would allow all of this to take place so well? And so I enjoyed being there. It was a place where I would just kind of soak in all of that, the wonder of what was going on and how they did it. Have you ever been in a situation where you've listened to a preacher and for some reason that preacher just seems to really hit the nail on the head? It's as if the preaching is that maybe he's not preaching very long, but what he says is so clear and so precise that it just goes straight to your heart. I've been a singer for years. I've studied music. And it's interesting when you get up in front of people and you sing. When you're done, people marvel at it. They may marvel at it. They may really appreciate your singing. But they seem to think that it just happens. And that's not the case. There's all kinds of things going on inside and having a clear understanding of what your body is doing. You're having to deal with it behind the scenes, what's going on in the inside, so that what comes out sounds comfortable and beautiful to them. I think youth ministry is very similar. Someone has to get behind the scenes and do the work so that the result is something that is wonderful. Your kids and your program, you want them to come and experience something. You want them to experience fun, but also learning and growing, thinking. You want them to experience all of that, which means as a leader, you have a lot of work to do to prepare that. You do it in such a way that the young person walks away and thinks, wow, I was here for an hour and only felt like 20 minutes. Why? Because it was thought through so well. Someone was behind the scenes making that difference. That's what the youth ministry is about. That's what the youth leader does. And so let's talk about our context. We're basically talking about three different age groups. The first is late childhood, ages 8 through 11. Most youth ministries have elementary, middle school, and high school youth in them. We really like to focus on late childhood, and the reason for that is the fourth grade. From two different sources, from Yowanza Kunjufu talking about the fourth grade failure syndrome, for black boys, to Bob Beal talking about if you want to know who you are, ask yourself what you were doing in the fourth grade. That is a pivotal time of growth and change and discovery. And so to allow your high school leaders to influence this age group is very significant for them. So you have children, the early adolescent, and then the adolescents who are influencing the children, and it's circular. It takes the African proverb, it takes a village to raise a child. So we take advantage of that. So you've got late childhood, and then you've got early adolescence, ages 12 through 14. And that's when the early waves of what Chief Stanley Hall called Sturm und Drang, storm and stress. It's the beginning of the struggle of figuring out who am I. And so that's a critical time, which means that is an optimal time to begin to get your young people to be thinking, to bringing them in with a group. I know working with junior hires, they can be a tough group. But in a club setting, to get them thinking, asking questions, getting honest answers to honest questions, creating the culture, which we'll talk about a little bit later. That's a great time to do that. And that prepares them to move into adolescence and the high school and entrance into your emerging leaders initiative. Whereas high school students, they are learning by doing. We also need to understand what leadership is. We talked about this before, that there are many definitions of leadership. The one that we're going to use that's most practical for us, the one to teach your young people, your emerging leaders, your high school leaders, is this one. Leadership is knowing what to do next. It's knowing why that is important, and knowing how to bring appropriate resources to bear on the need at hand. Let's break this down quickly. Knowing what to do next involves process. How are you going to, with anything, how are you going to fix a light bulb? It may take 3 or 4 steps, maybe 5 steps, if you're like me, changing a light bulb. Well, you need to know those steps. You need to know the process. Because if you're doing something, you're doing a project or an activity, and something breaks down at step 4, then you can go back and look at step 3. So knowing what to do next involves the process. How are you going to get there? But also then you have to know why. Why is that important? And that has to do with principle. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why is each step important? That's the principle behind the process. And then knowing how to bring appropriate resources to bear on the need at hand, most resources are embodied in people. And so knowing what to do next is process. Knowing why that's important is principal. Knowing how to bring appropriate resources to bear on the need at hand, that is people. If you have a group of people, the person in the group that knows these three things will emerge as the leader. Okay. We're also going to be walking through the phases of ministry development. This is based on starting from scratch. If you're starting a ministry right from the beginning, a transformational discipleship ministry, and you're starting right from scratch, there are three phases you're going to walk through. The first one has to do with context. Who are you? Who are your neighbors? And how do you fit in to the broader body of Christ? And then the next step, once you have your ministry going, then you have to build a culture of thinking, a culture of that is unique to your ministry and to a transformational discipleship ministry. And so there's some things, some skills that we need to have. We need to know how to decode. We're going to talk about that. We're going to need to understand what it means to model what we believe and what we teach. And then the third part is Harambe. I just call it the Harambe moment. And that's a word that I apply to the club or group setting. When most youth ministries meet with a group of young people every week. And while that is fun and can be very fun and exciting and give young people something to do, it is also one of the most optimal times to communicate with young people, to begin to build that culture of thinking, to give honest answers to honest questions. That youth club meeting is a strategic time for the youth leader. And we're going to talk about that. And that's phase two, is establishing the culture. Because as you have the culture, then out of that culture will come young people that are prepared to enter the Emerging Leaders Initiative. And that's where, when they become high school students, then they are invited to participate in the leadership program that is about learning while doing, having responsibility and authority and exercising that, and learning about who they are in the process. So, before we begin, before you begin, you should know your starting context. What is your ministry setting? I mean, they can be so many different things. Are you in a sports program or in a music program? Are you just working with kids in the neighborhood? Are you doing it on your own? Are you just living in the neighborhood and you're inviting kids over week by week? Or are you part of a organization? Are you part of a church? Are you like a youth pastor? Or are you working in a parachurch context? You need to know your ministry setting. What is that setting? And then as you look at your setting, ask yourself, what are the expectations or assumptions of the larger governing body? What are people expecting out of your ministry? What are they expecting now? What are some of the expectations and assumptions that are governing what you do or what you think about youth ministry? These are things you need. This is part of your context that you need to understand. Is there a past? Everybody has a past. What about your ministry? What's the context in which you are doing youth ministry? Have changes taken place in the governing body, in the church or parachurch? Or have things changed in your community? What's the past history that has contributed to where you are today? And then look at your community. Look at the youth, families, other aspects of your community. Have a sense of what you are walking into. What context are you seeking to bring about change? Another thing you need to do is to know the code. We talked about this, the code of the street. How is the code of the street, those unwritten rules that are shaping direction, behavior in your community, how are How is the code of the street impacting your ministry and your youth? You may not see this up here. We've got youth, family, peers, community, worldview, and ministry. There may be other things, but you want to ask yourself, what's going on in your community? What are some of the dynamics that are going on in your community? And particularly in light of Romans 12:2, where Paul says, stop being conformed. Stop squeezing, letting the world squeeze you into its mold. What are the squeezing elements in your community? So that's the beginning. That's the introduction. And now we're going to continue in learning how to build cathedrals.